Hey guys, today's episode of The Read is brought to you by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist that you feel like you can relate to and you feel really comfortable with. Every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. So to match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/read and use code READ to get $30 off your first month. That's Talkspace.com/read, code READ. Let them know we sent you. And let's start the show.
First of all, it is now Black History Month.
It is. Happy anniversary of Beyonce releasing the photo of the twins in her belly. Remember she did that February 1st of last year?
All right.
I've actually been looking forward to this for a while. I remember that date because it really brought some sunshine into my life.
It did. I remember a lot of people needing that photograph at the time.
Yeah. And being like, just running to Instagram and being like, oh, so Beyonce is just... She knew it had been Trump's inauguration. Everybody was feeling really down.
We were
feeling very low.
Yeah.
And then Beyonce was like, all right, niggas, a reason to smile again is coming. So,
well, for Black History Month, I will only be doing quotes from beloved Black sitcoms.
Great. So I can be more shamed than I already am.
But you can narrow it down.
You're right.
You
and I know way more sitcoms than I do movies.
Great. So, starting with, watch me work, honey. Men are like fish. If you want to catch one, you got to put some bait on your hook.
This could be too many people.
That's all I've got.
Was this a character played by Jack A. Harry?
It was not.
Damn. Jennifer Lewis?
No.
Damn.
Man, let's see. Another quote.
Can
from
I get
the
a
show.
Decade?
It's the early 90s.
Okay. Men are like, that's still.
This is the someone's sister said that.
Was it Harriet Winslow's sister?
It might have been Harriet Winslow's sister.
Oh my God, really? Is this Family Matters?
Yes.
Yeah.
You needed way too many clues.
I did.
That's fine.
No, I did, but what? Oh, Rachel.
That was Rachel. Of Rachel's Place.
Aunt Rachel's Place.
I was originally, my favorite line from Family Matters is when Rachel baby like said mama and she was trying to convince everybody that the baby said it and he wouldn't say it when everybody else was around.
Right.
And they were talking about everybody's first words.
I don't remember.
And Laura was like, Eddie's first word was, huh?
A drag.
To this day, that takes me out. Like,
that's a good one.
Anyway, so welcome, guys.
Happy Black History Month.
I am Myra Monkhouse, RIP.
Okay. And I am Lupita Nyong'o's Black Panther dress. Majestic,
you know,
and regaled in a bitch.
Valid. Speaking of Black excellence.
So amazing. That purple carpet, my God, you niggas did that, nigga.
I mean,
it was so good.
I am just reinvigorated.
Yes, I cannot wait for this movie.
I mean, wow. I mean, I've already got my outfit together.
Okay, okay.
I'm not going to do anything so formal. Obviously, they were, you know, blessed to be there.
Right.
So being in your best, I get it.
Right.
Wow. What a mighty show out. Angela Bassett.
Oh.
Everybody was just dressed.
Say
to the
it
nines.
Again. Everybody looked so good and just. Even the men, I was just like, wow. So everybody is just going to show up and stunt like this. And just putting every other red carpet movie premiere to like shame. Like the rest of y'all going to have to step your pussies
great
up.
Great early reviews.
Issa Rae's dress was beautiful. Issa always looks, ugh. Anyway, don't get me started. It was just so much.
If you were there, I hate you. But thanks so much for showing up. And I hope you had a great time. And I can't wait to see it for myself.
Yeah, I was really shocked at how many people I follow on Instagram were at that event.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it was a lot.
Oh, so I feel a way about you bitches. Like, I am actually jealous to not be at all of this. So, but yeah, very, very excited for this movie.
Black excellence also goes to Hanif Johnson. This young man is 27 years old, and he's the youngest magisterial district judge in the state of Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
At 27 years old.
That is fancy.
A native of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. His term just began here in January. Well, it's February now, but just got started. Donald Trump and all of his White Walkers were apparently a part of the inspiration for him to go after this seat. He said, when you sit back and you see Donald Trump become president, you hear about all the things we are being affected by. It seems like everything happens through the court system. Everybody always says, well, we complain about stuff, but we never get up and do anything. This is me getting up and doing something.
Amen.
And so to that young man, younger than me, doing great things.
I love that. I love that message. Right. Which is an excellent school. Oh, God. Wait a minute.
We don't need to.
Okay. I was just going to confirm, but I think.
It's fine.
Okay. No, it's fine. So anyway, grossed out. But anyway, I love that that man's presidency is inspiring so many people of color to be like, oh, okay. And so I'm actually going to actively fight this motherfucker.
It's like, oh, hell nah, but in action.
Yeah.
Like,
not just
if
in
those
these
words
tweets.
Were things,
right.
That's what this would be.
Yes, and I applaud anybody who is actually putting action behind their words. So salute to that young man. That's excellent news.
Absolutely. So this week in Yo Hot Tops and a Bottle of Rum.
Okay, that's clever.
So I don't care about most of it. Like, this I feel like is a light week. I feel like this is going to be one of those weeks where we're going to go home and then something dramatic is going to happen. Okay. Or something tomorrow morning or whatever.
Right. All right.
I know the Grammys happened, and Blue Ivy again proved that she is who we said she is, but, I did not watch the show.
Okay.
Actually, when I decided, okay, let me go ahead and turn and see what the fuck is going on in the Grammys. It was about 30 seconds before that happened. And then I was like, okay, thanks, Blue. And then I turned it off.
I mean, and that and watching Rihanna perform and like a couple of other moments were pretty much all I got. Yeah. Out of the Grammys, I was drifting in and out of sleep, to be honest. We had just came from brunch, so I was going off the
mimosas. That's probably.
But I was awake for the Blue Ivy moment, and after that, I was like, I think I can just go in the other room and watch Love After Lockup now. I think I'm good. Because she really just, honestly, like, they owe Beyonce a check for bringing her baby to this show.
Absolutely.
Y'all just give her her money. Oh, seeing a sidewalk around on the red carpet was adorable.
I didn't see that.
Oh, my God. You miss Lil Uzi Vert. Have you seen the video of this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
When I don't know what combination of drugs was in that nigga's system.
All of them.
I don't know what to tell you. But he was being interviewed by that very, very
Juliana
thin woman. Something like that. And so... And she was asking him all these questions. And when I tell you, this nigga was giving the driest two-word answers. Like, he didn't give one fuck about being there.
Nobody likes Juliana.
Talking about he gonna wake up tomorrow and have Pop-Tarts for breakfast regardless of what happens tonight. So, like, I feel like he also did not like her. And Cardi B did a red carpet interview with her.
I saw the Cardi B one.
And she was just, like, staring at her like, bitch, what is you talking about?
She looked like she was definitely thinking about dinner. Like,
yes,
all the while, the whole time, like the thing was.
Shout out to Hennessy for showing up and showing out, saying she was gonna take her goddamn moment, also as well.
Look, no, she's in fashion. She just graduated fashion school.
Oh, okay. So I expect a line with Fashion Nova to be dropping soon. Or
I don't see why not. They endorse them, don't they? Does the Shade Room own Fashion Nova?
No, I just feel like the Shade Room's circle of customers versus Fashion Nova's.
Like,
it has to be almost overlapping. I don't know. But I feel like the same people who follow the Shade Room are religiously shopping at Fashion Nova. There's nothing wrong with that because I got
they
some
have
Fashion
to
Nova clothes also.
Or own part of it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But yeah, I really didn't see. I know I don't even really watch award shows at all anymore, to be honest with you. Because like I've said before, I'm going to see what I want to see on the internet the next day.
Right. Well, niggas was mad because Bruno Mars won for Album of the Year.
And everything else.
And right, and also right, everything else, which I mean, I like I said, I think I said this on the show that I totally expected it and would have been glad about it because I did, I would have felt a way about Jay-Z winning Album of the Year. So I am glad that did not happen.
There were like 18 other people nominated for Album of the Year besides Bruno and Jay-Z.
True, but I just knew based off of how insanely popular Bruno's album was that he was going to win it. So, oh, and niggas was mad because Alessia Cara beat SZA for best new artist and then went on that child's Instagram and harassed the hell out of her.
Oh, she posted a response to that. I'm not going to read this Insta essay, but what it basically gets to is, you know, there's no reason for you to tell me how much I suck. I've told myself that I suck since pretty much I knew what sucking meant. So, haha, I beat you to that.
I really like this positive spin you put on that.
And no, I mean, that's literally what
she
said.
No, she did say it.
And she's just like, I'm not gonna feel bad for winning an award that I worked really hard for. I agree. I really think that SZA should have won Best New Artist or some fucking thing. Like, she did not slay.
Right.
I'm not even gonna
She
get
didn't
myself
deserve that.
Upset.
Like, Rihanna did not deserve that. The fact that Rihanna even came back on y'all's stage after y'all did her like that, I don't get it, but shout out to her.
I mean, they always win by getting these people to come and look great.
I mean,
hell,
Beyonce
and or
showed
perform
up again
right
after they disrespected.
You know what I'm saying? More than once,
right?
You know what I'm saying? And so I don't know what they get. You know, if there's like a secret check or like there's like, you know, they give you a car. I don't know what.
Maybe
what
they
it
just want to dress up and party. Maybe it's just a fun weekend, and they all around. I mean, you're Jay-Z, Beyonce, Rihanna. Like, you could go to the Grammys or you could not go to the Grammys. You could do whatever. So it's like, why not just put on something fun and cute and go have fun?
I mean, well, they all looked great. So maybe it is just about like going and seeing your niggas and then also looking fantastic. But
maybe they
I
left
just,
it up to Blue. Maybe they were just like, do you want to go? Because
my bun is done.
Even though
why
Beyonce
asked me questions.
Beyonce holding them organic fruit snacks in that juice box looking like.
Because she knows what she's
supposed
to be
doing. Being a mother is trash.
I lived, so let's just discuss the fact that Camila,
whomever, Fifth
Cameron,
Direction,
whatever, yeah, she, her
that's
name
her,
is,
from that group.
She was speaking and Blue was not interested. Mm-hmm. First of all, Dreamers didn't build this country.
Right, she was lying.
So
she
you're
was up
already
there lying.
Incorrect.
Right.
But then she said whatever she said and her parents got to clapping and Blue had said, okay, so you calm down. You two over here.
I'm going to start over here with my left.
Cease,
because you,
first of all,
young lady, are really doing a lot.
Madam, I introduced you to Normani at the Rock Nation brunch. You already know we don't stand for
we
the op.
We just took a picture with her.
We don't do the op. You already know that we stand
this
for Normani.
Flop, I won't do.
You over here, you lucky to be here. So let's everybody calm down. All right, we're not clapping for the opposition tonight.
Did you notice at one point they switched seats so that Jay-Z was between Beyonce and Blue? I feel like Beyonce was like, so listen.
You're feeling your beat tonight because we're in front of all these white
Somebody's
people.
Having a lot of fun at the Grammys.
Let me explain something to you.
But little girl, do not act like I will not snatch a knot in your ass right here in front of all these white people.
I will take off both of these $5 million earrings and
I
get
love
into
it.
Your ass. I just love it.
Beyonce's face, it was everything. So yeah, I feel like she's like, you need to get your daughter.
You are feeling it tonight.
You need to get your child.
Because you know that you're the biggest star in here. And I appreciate that. But I will wear your ass out.
I would kill to see the group message between Beyonce and Solange
and Miss
Tina.
Tina.
Yes,
right.
I would just kill like, to read that.
Mama, if you don't come and get your grandbaby from the front row right now.
I feel like Solange is going to troll her with that gift.
Absolutely. Every time Beyonce says
Every
something, she don't like. She sent her that gift.
Don't make me do you
okay,
like
so,
your daughter did.
Sweetie, pump your brakes. Thanks so much.
Oh, man. Blue Ivy is truly a legend.
She's
a she
gift.
Knows it.
She knows it.
She'll be like, oh, what is Blue Ivy going to do when she realizes Beyonce's her mama? No, what is Beyonce going to do when she realizes Blue Ivy is her daughter?
That is the question.
Because nobody's ready for that little girl. I love it.
I mean, she's got so much personality.
Yeah.
She's ready
to let
you know.
It was definitely the highlight
bored,
of the show, right?
When she approves, when she disapproves.
When she needs a snack. Beyonce, it's been too long. Where are my carbohydrates? Find
I'm
them.
I'm confused.
I just need my juice, girl. I don't get it. I'm six. Where's my juice?
So, I mean, if you watched the Grammys and you had a great time, good for you. Congratulations. I decided to play Monster Hunter and watch The Office, which...
I don't know Monster Hunter.
I have not laughed so hard in so long.
Really? Like,
from that episode, the dinner party episode of The Office.
I'm just having, The Office. Okay.
I'm having such a great time with that program.
I watched it off and on, so I don't know if I remember that one, but I did enjoy it.
I just started from the very beginning, however many weeks ago, and I just got to season 5. And it's like, I don't know how to explain why it's so funny. Because there are shows like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, for instance, that you could probably just read the script and you can find the jokes. Like, it's written funny. This show is like, it has that, but it's mostly like, I feel like visually funny. Mm-hmm,
it is.
And like their facial expressions and the way they say things is really funny.
The way they interact with each other. The characters, personalities, and all that, it is.
I have no idea why Michael Scott still has a job. I have no idea why Stanley still works there. That black man is me. Like, he is just like, I don't care about anything that y'all are doing. We're talking about pranks, raccoons,
none
bats.
Of it.
I'm just going to clock out once I'm done and go home. Like, it's
yes,
so great.
You in the workplace.
Okay, yes, we talked about your friend winning all her things. Whatever.
I mean, I also would have been satisfied with Lorde winning Album of the Year.
I have not listened to that.
You know, she's my unproblematic white fave, and I like her.
Don't put that on her.
Early 20. Well, she's done really well so far.
You
so.
Know that we're the ones that ruin
know,
that.
But she's still.
So when she
I
fucks
know.
Up tomorrow.
See, don't say that, please. I need to hold on to her. But I like her little angsty white girl, you know, going through my feelings and growing up kind of music.
I loved her first album. I just haven't listened to this one yet, so.
Yeah.
I heard good things, though.
I was like the only black girl at the Lorde show in Washington Heights.
Okay.
So, but the fact that she played Washington Heights.
That's surprising.
Yeah, it only took me 8 minutes to get there. But
that's
this
life.
Was years ago, yeah. So, I like her. I do. She's fun.
I didn't like that first single.
Royals, well, it was every fucking
not
word.
That one. Oh. The first single from this album.
Oh, I did. I love it. What?
Unless I'm thinking
it's just
of it
fun
wrong.
For me.
I don't know. I'll listen to it eventually. That was the only song, I mean, the only album from the Album of the Year nominees that I hadn't listened to. The rest of them I've heard and enjoyed.
So, right. I mean, I also would not have been mad if Kendrick won, but who was your, was Kendrick?
Yeah, they just gave Kendrick all the things with the word rap in it.
Right. Like, don't play yourself. We're certainly not going to give you the big one, but all the rappy rap
whoever's votes is just
sure.
like, oh, Kendrick, yeah. I'm
oh, yeah,
sure
Kendrick
he was
Lamar.
The best
no,
one.
No, no. No, I've heard great things.
Yeah,
he's
sure.
a really good
Absolutely.
Rapper. Yeah, so.
But once you put them next
one.
To Bruno.
Well, bitch, please. Kids love Bruno Mars.
White people love Bruno Mars because Bruno Mars has that, you know,
all the fun
that
black music.
Urban music
yeah,
and he's got that brown
guilt.
Tint
right
so they can be like oh yeah I know the words to this and it's not talking about you know ejaculating in the face is it
no well no I think he's probably got lines that you know are more for code for like coke than ejaculating on somebody.
No shock there.
I'm saying. I feel like that's pretty much it. But children turn the fuck up to Bruno Mars. Every wedding I went to last year during the reception, you play Bruno Mars and everybody under the age of 7 turns the fuck up. So it just didn't
He's
shock
got everyone.
Me. Yeah. He
He's
did.
Got everyone.
He's got everyone. All the fun of black music without the pesky blackness.
Yeah.
So I get it. I do.
It's perfect.
I understand the criticisms.
And he's
but
brown.
I also genuinely enjoy the music. And he is constantly shouting out his black ass inspirations. That is why I'm comfortable rocking with him.
I mean, he might as well.
Well, I mean, he can't. He really could not deny it. Like, it's blatant.
I
but
mean, white people have tried.
The number of, right, the number of people who do like to take our shit and pretend like it didn't come from us, you know, is not small. So I appreciate him making the effort.
How's Robin Thicke doing with Marvin Gaye's family?
I have no idea. Wow. What a blast from the past. What didn't... He was certainly sued, right? Because Nona don't play.
More than.
Nona don't play about
1, 000,
that.
1,000, absolutely. And I'm pretty sure she got her money.
No. Like, so. You really don't want to fuck like with Nona Gay.
So, the audacity of you to even say anything to
me. I actually haven't, I have not heard that name in, I don't know where Robin Thicke is at. Mm-mm. Probably making monthly payments to Nona Gay.
I would
not be shocked.
And probably
trying
follow.
To act like that wasn't the exact same. You know what? Anyway, what were we talking about?
We're talking about the Grammys, but I think we can move on.
Okay, yeah. Oh, right. Album of the Year.
So, you know, in an effort to be like a super great uncle and also probably fixes PR foolishness, Lewis Hamilton. You remember the Lewis Hamilton, the driver sports guy I talked about, whose nephew got a princess dress for Christmas and he went on Instagram.
Oh, yes.
And said,
now
I
do.
Dresses aren't for boys.
I was so confused.
So he was photographed at Disneyland. Is this the one in LA? I mean, is there like a Disney? Why do I want to know for sure? No, it's Paris. So Disneyland Paris last week, he was photographed with his nephew and I guess this is his niece, both dressed in princess dresses.
Okay.
The little girl's dressed as Snow White and he prefers Rapunzel. And he was holding them hand in hand with the braids that Chris Brown just cut off. Proudly walking, smiling, and having a great time being an awesome uncle. And
yeah, I bet that photo was taken on purpose.
Thankfully, I'm just glad that the face, well, where the photos I'm looking at are on Daily Mail and the kids' faces are blurred out. So I don't know if Daily Mail did that. I'm assuming they did.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm just grateful for that. Just because the kids don't need to be paraded around in gossip foolishness or whatever.
Right. Like, leave them kids alone about it.
Right. But what I love about this is that you can see that the boy is still posing in this picture. Like, his face is blurred out, but you can see that he's still getting
his
life.
Yeah, I just pulled it up on my lap. And he is. Hip is jutted out. Like
oh my
gosh.
But, okay, well, let's take photos.
Well, I mean, the Rapunzel dress is way cuter than the Snow White
dress. It just is.
It's like, better.
The color scheme is together.
It is.
Like,
the
it just
looks nicer.
It's a more flattering color as
Snow
well.
Snow White is just right. This blue and this yellow, she just looks so primary. Rapunzel is a bad bitch.
When deers and rabbits are making your garments.
You take what the fuck you can get, bitch.
Rapunzel literally had her whole life to make a dress.
That's
so
true. She didn't do nothing but like sew and grow hair.
Unfair advantage.
All her life.
Is he wearing Yeezys too on anything?
Well, good for him. Is that what those are?
I don't know.
Yeezys?
They just look like little sneakers.
I was going to say, ain't no Kanye made anything that colorful.
Whatever, Lewis. I mean, base situation here. Like, at the very surface of this, you are at least showing this child that he's cool.
Right.
Doing what he wants. Regardless of whether or not you're trying to fix your PR
no,
foolishness.
No, you certainly are. I mean, pose and smile say it all.
You're just a huge grin.
Look how happy I am with my nephew in a dress. But you know what? Right. The impact on his nephew is far more important. Even if he's doing it so the rest of us will stop dragging him.
Right.
Even if he's doing it for that reason also, at least his nephew feels supported.
That's what matters.
Right. And the
although I was told that we just don't understand British humor.
Well, maybe that's true. I might not
understand
British.
I'm literally laughing my ass off on a spinoff of a show that was created in Britain.
I mean, I really do like their dry white people way of telling jokes.
Like, I think
I mean,
maybe there's just one little corner of it that I don't get because I've watched tons of like comedies out of the UK that are hilarious. I love tons of
that just wasn't
comedians.
A joke. You
I
were just being a dick to a baby.
Right.
And that's not funny.
Okay.
So I guess I don't get it.
I don't get it.
So I thought it was a kid.
Speaking of people that made some PR mistakes, TLC. Apparently they had a they're performing at the Australian Open.
Wow. That's a what? I've never heard of, like, on the court. I've never heard of such a thing.
I don't know.
They can't be singing. Oh, no.
Maybe it's just like, as it's happening, they're like.
So this is maybe a dumb question, but do they sing the Australian national anthem at the Australian
Open? I think they're just performing
Open?
TLC music.
No. What? That makes even less sense. Why?
Like, I don't think that they're, I think that they had like a concert or like a mini concert maybe before a match or
okay so like
that
something
weekend
indoor. Okay, got you. All right, I thought you meant they were like opening the Australian
I don't think they're like the halftime
that
show.
Was like what
I
the
don't know.
Fuck is going on in tennis.
They were performing in Australia.
Got you.
And they had to pull out at the last minute. That's what she said.
I hate that I'm 5 years
I'm
old and laughed at that.
Stop.
You are too much.
So here is what the announcers apparently told the crowd. We have had a full computer meltdown tonight And unfortunately, TLC cannot sing because they can't sing without their computers. But we will issue... Like, why do they have to say it
why
like that?
Why do they have to say that? That's fucked up. These bitches won't sing unless somebody can run their voices through a program first. So therefore, won't be no show tonight.
Sorry, guys.
What the fuck?
But we will issue full refunds for everyone here.
Wow.
T-Boz said the following on Twitter. I am so with like 8-0. Sorry, it was out of our control. We're trying to figure something out to make it up to you. Chili responded by saying, oh my God, we're so sorry. We were dressed and everything, but it was out of our hands. Like she said, we're trying to figure out how to make it up somehow. I mean,
could you not have just sung? It just seems like.
No.
No. Like, if I had paid money for this, which is already a leap, then if somebody had said they can't sing because the computers are down, I would have been like, so, I mean, but you bitches are supposed to be singers, right? Like, just turn on the mics.
I just tried to assume that maybe, like, the computer was what would be playing the back, the music or...
No.
Queuing stuff up. Like, they just had technical difficulties and they could. You know that they are not about to go give Australia an unplugged show.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if I was the promoter, I would be pissed. Like, all this money and y'all
would
just
like, their fault.
Well, fuck it. We can't do it. So
it doesn't sound like TLC's computer. Honestly, I don't really give a fuck about this to be quite honest. First of all, I mean, I know that they just put out that album that y'all paid for, but
I didn't know it came out.
I believe it did. Oh, I'm like almost 100% sure that album came out. But you remember right before it came out, Chili was on some weird All Lives Matter shit.
Oh, yes.
And I feel like not long after that, T-Boz also said something crazy.
Stupid too, right. Oh, yeah. You know what? And I believe we cussed them out.
Yeah, we did.
It feels familiar.
I don't care.
So, fuck it. I'm still trying to get my head around them being at the fucking Australian Open. Who booked that?
I mean, you know, they probably have, like, a lot of fans out there. My thing is, if this is their last album and that's what they're performing for,
okay.
Great.
Okay.
Because I haven't really been able to digest TLC as a performing group since Left Eye has been
right.
Gone.
No, me
it's
either.
Just not the same.
It is not.
And I have respected the fact that they've never like tried to replace her except for the one time they did that show on
Lil Mama.
On United Performing Niggas on UPN. Remember they had that show where they was like looking for a girl and then also Crispy One.
So
where is also Crispy?
You. I do remember them recruiting.
She gotta be all still Crispy now.
Pretending that they were going.
But they said like,
sir,
are you
finished or are you done?
They said like, even on the show, they were like, we're not replacing Left Eye. We're just going to have somebody do some shows with us. And then they put out that weird Usher diss and then Osa Crispy was on it. And then she performed at the end of the show, and then that was it.
Oh, okay. Well, that happened.
This is when I was like in high school.
I don't know why I remember this so vividly. Right. The fact that you even remember is crazy to me. I remember Lil Mama performing with them on some show.
No, that was after the TLC movie came out on VH1.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm thinking about. And
Lil
everybody was like, Lil Mama would be great. But didn't she do a performance with them? Like,
yeah,
I'm
pretty sure she performed with them at one point.
Somewhere, yeah. But it's just, right, it's not the same.
It's just never going to be.
Lisa. Right, and it never will be. So I felt like if they were going to release like their unreleased last music or whatever that they did with her, then that would be fine. But like, trying to continue as TLC without her is never going to work.
It's just never going to.
It just isn't.
Every time I've seen them perform, I just be sad.
It feels
like,
off.
It just makes me...
It will like, always feel off with just the two of them. And honestly, if one of the other two had died, I would feel the same way. Like,
right.
It would just be off
just
without the three of y'all, right? So, whoever... The thought, again, of spending money to watch T and C perform, I just will not. So... But God bless.
And they didn't do themselves any favors.
Whoever worded the release was pissed.
They were livid.
That was the promoter wrote that tweet.
Because somebody probably from TLC's group is the one who told them, okay, no, well, we can't perform if the computers aren't working. So they can't sing without their computers. So
they said if the computer don't work, they can't do it. Yeah, because of the computer. They can't sing because of the computer.
TLC is the fifth and final studio album by the American group TLC,
amen,
released on June 30th, 2017.
Oh my God. How are we this late? Wait, because we don't care.
That's fine.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to listen. Oh, well. If it was that great, somebody would have told me about it by now.
It features remastered versions of No Scrubs, Creep, Unpretty. Okay.
I never cared for Unpretty. Sorry. I didn't.
You can lay every bone grow. You can fix your nose.
Mostly because I think I, even as a child, I was like, I reject unpretty as a word. Find something else to say. That was really my issue. Oh, just a nerd. God.
I just remember the video making me uncomfortable.
I don't barely remember. Because
Left Eye was gangbanging and then somebody got shot. And then.
Oh my God.
Chili wanted like breast implants, and then that girl was getting cut up, and then she ran out into a white light.
Yes.
I don't remember what the fuck T-Boz was
doing.
I
do remember Chili and the breast implant scene.
Like, that was weird. And that girl just looked like she looked like she was dying as they were cutting her open, and Chili like freaked out.
Yeah, I don't need to. I will not be revisiting this.
Like, I never.
I don't need to watch that ever.
I remember seeing
again.
That video and being like.
I've blocked out most of that. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, a mess.
All right. Well, what else do we have here? Oh, we brought up the Sister reboot. I think that was last week.
Okay.
Jack A said that they were, you know, in talks of working on this whole thing happening.
Yeah.
Tia, who apparently is super pregnant. There's like a lot of women who are real pregnant right now, and I'm finding out about these celebrity women being pregnant when they're like 8 months.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea Chrissy Teigen was pregnant until like 4 days ago.
Oh, you must don't follow her on Instagram.
No, I don't. She's who else so is cute. Pregnant? Oh, they said Monica's pregnant, but Monica's not. Tia's pregnant. Somebody else.
There's a white woman who's pregnant.
Might be a white
woman. I think
woman.
It's Kirsten Dunst.
What?
Yeah. I think Kirsten Dunst is pregnant.
Oh, well, I don't care about that.
Okay.
yeah, somebody else is pregnant too, and I just found out. Oh, I found out that Jordan Sparks was pregnant.
Oh,
but I think
yeah.
That she,
Jordan
I think
Sparks
she kept that a secret.
So cute. Well, no, I don't. Not a secret.
I think like when she revealed that she was pregnant, she was already kind of pregnant.
Oh well, yeah.
Or maybe okay. I'm like
what?
Like I, like she was like showing.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Whatever. The point is.
Anyway, though.
Like, she was, like, really far along, I think.
No, I don't think she is that far along.
I don't know. I just be late. Like,
a
these
lot of people
are
pregnant.
And they're, like, huge pregnant. And I'm like,
well,
what?
That's because all you're doing is watching The Office and playing video games.
That's true.
Thus, you're not paying any attention
that is true.
To Instagram. So.
That is true. Or, like, anything else.
You're missing all of it.
Well, Tia said the following to People Magazine. She says, we haven't gotten an official go yet. Everything is put in place. We just need a home. We have a writer. We have an idea. Everybody's on board. All the puzzles and pieces are in place. So it seems like they're just trying to find the network to buy it or whatever at this point. Which I guess would be the more complicated thing. Netflix has got openings.
Well, yeah, but they are already doing a beloved sitcom reboot. And I don't.
So what, they can't do a beloved black sitcom reboot?
Well, I'm not saying that.
Let's call Monique and ask her how she feels about it.
I was going to say, maybe if we pressured Netflix and we're like, excuse you, it's very anti-black of you to not pick up the reboot of Sister, then they might.
I mean, I feel like why not at least have the conversation and see. I mean, Netflix very clearly makes it seem like they are open to house all kinds of content.
Right.
I mean, they have like stand up that's in all Spanish. They have anime. They have like cooking shows. They have like those American Gladiator style shit.
Yeah.
Like all kinds of programming.
Mm-hmm.
Even multicam sitcoms from the 90s.
Of course.
So why not at least be like, no, you know, like thanks so much for coming, but we don't see it.
Well, I don't know. Is she saying that like they haven't actually shopped it to any networks yet, or none of the networks have?
That hasn't been clear. Like, they just need a home, is what they're saying. So I don't know how much work they've actually done in that part yet.
Well,
But I mean, I don't know. Freeform might be cute.
Oh, Freeform might be cute. I don't know.
Wasn't it? No, it was on the WB, or was it ABC? Shows used to switch networks a million, like all around.
I feel like it was on ABC because wasn't it on TGIF?
Maybe.
Or wait.
I don't know.
I feel like it was. Anyway, I'm interested because I, you know, like Sister. Sister was one of my favorite shows from back in the day, but reboots are very popular now, and so maybe they're feeling like the reboot market is
wide open.
I mean, no, not wide open, but there are just so many. Like, everything is getting re.
It's kind of like the return of the '90s,
right?
Group
in movies
that's going
too, Jumanji.
Tour.
But see, also like a lot of these reboots do really well. So
sometimes
I hope they do find a home because I would at least like to see.
I would definitely give it a shot. Yes, because I love Sister Sister too.
And I talked a big shit about Fuller House, and a few people hit me up and were like, "I'm the reason Fuller House is still on." It's
I saw
great.
That as well. People like, of all really? Shades and all ages.
Yes, somebody who I will not out because I'm sure she does not want me to publicly out her in this way. She was like, I low-key love that show. Like, I watch it all the time. And I think it's hilarious.
The Netflix one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. I was also stunned. I cannot believe
it. I just read that they got a season four.
See, I know the people who are watching, black people who are watching that show.
Idea how.
And swear that it is great. So,
you know what? I'm going to go back and watch it again. I know I'm going to hate it, but it was, I want to like, I'm going to watch. First of all, I made it through maybe 7 minutes of episode one. So maybe just the utter cheesiness okay. of all of the, we're back. Oh my gosh, we're back. And we're still white. Maybe that was like too much for me.
Oh God.
I'm going to like try to watch the first two episodes. And if I still am like, I don't get it, then I just don't know what you niggas are talking about.
Okay.
But for so many of y'all to have been like, no, I love it.
I love that show. Right.
Maybe I'm missing like, yeah. something. And four seasons.
Right. I mean, I'm shocked that it continues to be renewed, but I think I tried to get through two or three at least. And I was just like, this is awful. It's just bad. It gives me, I did not care for it. So,
Speaking of reboots, and this one they can keep, Martin.
Yeah. Do not bring Martin back.
So Martin posted, I didn't even know he had an Instagram. He posted a photo of the cast. This looks like the first season on Instagram with a bunch of hashtags, TBT and Throwback Thursday as two separate hashtags.
Okay. Just to make sure he captured both.
You know, just because, right. Some people do TBT, some do, right. RIP Tommy, which that still makes me sad. Best right. cast ever. Don't Team worry. Marty Marr, hashtag Martin Show. Which led people already maybe to be assuming like, oh, what is this? Which just felt like a Throwback Thursday picture to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then Martin's fiance also posted, well, she posted the logo on her Instagram and her caption says, got word from my fiance that my favorite show may be coming back with the creep eyes. And then Martin also posted the creep eyes.
Oh, God.
I sat up in my bed and yelled no to the ceiling. Link judged me.
I'm so glad to hear this from you because I know how much you love that show. You're wearing the hat right now.
It is. Oh, my God. I am wearing the hat right now. It is one of the greatest pieces of entertainment. To me, like not even
just
black entertainment. No, it's not. It's
no,
just
no. I mean, in this
you.
Room, it is
okay. That is fine.
Now, no, niggas love Martin.
Everybody,
and
loves
there
Martin.
Are so many. Yes, because there are so many classic episodes of Martin that I adore. And
okay, that's
hilarious.
Fair.
But I think
as a whole, no.
There are a lot of criticisms of Martin that I have, especially now that I'm an adult. There are a lot of things
of the character or of the person.
Oh no, not of the person. But of the character, like the fact that he was so ridiculous and so childish.
He's
and
basically not Junior. He's basically Anthony Anderson, Blackish. I mean, he's not as bad
I think,
as
right. He's like a '90s version of that, which was a lot of unchecked misogyny and sexism and little snide comments and just disrespectful ways that he would. Like, talk to Gina or allow Gina to be talked to, like, by his mama and all that shit. Like, I just don't feel like Martin has aged very well when we are talking about the way everybody else or the way society has progressed with regards to, like, blatant sexism.
Way to just suck the fun out of
well, you. Well, I feel like you brought it up, but it's. I'm still saying, like, even though
there are as an adult, definitely jokes, not even just in terms of sex. There are jokes throughout that series that don't age well, just because of where we are as a society.
But that's true with every series.
Right. I could say the exact same thing about The Golden Girls, which is another one of my favorite shows, and many other shows from that time, too. I just recognize that we're in a different time.
Right.
And it doesn't always prevent me from enjoying it, because I know, and this isn't really why I don't think the show should come back, but that's a part of the reason why it should not come back to me, because they're never going to be able to get away with what they got away with in the 90s, because it's a completely different time.
Right.
But past that, even if they could, I just don't feel like Martin was great the way that it was. It's fine for what it was in the time that it was. It's funny and treasured for the way that it was. There's no reason. You can't even have Tommy back because he's dead.
I mean, that's honestly my number one reason, is because I don't want a Martin without Tommy. I don't want a Martin without the full cast.
So. I don't want a Martin without the full cast either. I just don't want them to leave it alone. It was great. It's just like, for instance, everything doesn't need to have a remake or a reboot or a sequel just because of how great it is. Like, we don't need another Color Purple.
No, we don't need a Harlem Nights too. Martin was so 90s. It was so like 20-something black people in an urban area, you know, just very much black in that time. And so I don't think we need to bring it back. And I don't think Martin's character... I don't think there's a way to write Martin's character in 2018 that's not going to be considered offensive to a lot of black women. Because it's not that I can't watch Martin and enjoy it, but I'm an adult now. And so a lot of the ways he talks to her and shit like that, I'm just like, oh, no, this nigga is crazy. Like, absolutely not. Nigga, who are you talking to? Like, I have a lot of those moments when I watch the show, but it is still good.
Well, Hip Hollywood caught up with Tisha Campbell at some point. I'm not even going
to
say what I
think. I was just about to ask how she felt about it.
She just told them that she can't say anything. So that just raises eyebrows even more about what they're doing. But honestly, if I had to guess, I would say that somebody probably tapped somebody else on the shoulder and said, hey, look at all these reboots. What do you think? And maybe a couple or enough niggas are like toying with the idea, and ultimately it'll probably hit a wall, because I just don't think it needs to happen. I really, like, if I even hear that someone is like, oh, it's a go, I would probably petition against it. Not even just because, you know, it's going to be super offensive. I just think that it was great the way that it was, and you don't need to touch it.
Did she and Martin bury the hatchet and, like, figure all that stuff out?
I think that they did. I remember, like, years and years ago, BET did like a comedy awards that was televised. And I think he was one of the people that was honored, and she like presented him with the award and said some stuff about, like, she like subtly addressed that and or whatever. And okay. I cannot, for the love of me, I cannot find that clip anywhere, because I've wanted to see it again ever since then. But I remember watching it when it was televised. So I'm assuming that she has made peace with him over that dreaded last season. Shit that was probably taking place throughout the series until she ultimately was like, I'm not doing this no more. But
I just wondered if, like, when she was asked about it, if that was her reason for being like, oh, I'm not talking
about that. No, she's smiling like, with all her teeth, ear to ear.
And she looks like excited. Check. So
especially after y'all would not come and see her perform Still Here. So
and all the clips I saw, you know, I would have gave Tisha Campbell my $5-$10, because that's not saying I enjoyed. She's a legend anyway. She is. And I adore her regardless. Absolutely. So
Tisha Campbell has paid each and every one of her dues.
Mm-hmm. And y'all give her motherfucking flowers.
Treasured as Gina. She was treasured as Jay.
Yes.
And My Wife and Kids.
My Wife and Kids.
Little Shop of Horrors. Mm-hmm. House Party.
Yes.
Tisha Campbell has been, she's done a lot for us. School Days.
You niggas better act like you know. So yes, I would have given her my money.
All right. So speaking of niggas coming to television, Omarosa has got a new job.
No, you're not serious.
From the White House to the Big Brother house, she will be moving in with other celebrities not doing anything better on CBS's Celebrity Big Brother on February 7th. Other stars in the house include
Miss
Chuck Liddell and Mark McGrath and Ron Artest. Oh, Ron Artest is the one who calls himself Meta World Peace. What does that mean?
Yeah, no, I still don't know the answer to that.
But... Ross Matthews. I can't, like, that is going to be a train wreck that I'm not going to watch anything but clips of.
I feel like these are people who I recognize by face, but not name. So I'm Googling this story.
Because... Oh, Keisha Knight Pulliam is going to be in the
house. Oh, Rudy. What does she got going on?
She hates...
Since she was walking arm in arm with Bill Cosby's ass.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Because she and Homegirl's ex-husband had that baby, and then they have a drama with the baby.
Oh, my God, that's right. Oh, what a mess that was. I was like, really, Keisha? You too fine for this. How the fuck did you get caught up? I won't say interested to see what Omarosa has to say, because I doubt she's going to say anything of substance. Like, if she was going to have something to say about her time in the White House or whatever, it's not going to be, like, she's going to put all that in a book or something where she gets paid way more money.
Yeah, she'll, like, dance around it and probably have, like, several moments when she argues with other people in the House about some Trump shit or whatever.
But she's going to allude, like, to it.
Yeah, and she'll probably be, there'll probably be many points in the show where she says, it'll be in the book, like on,
she probably have like on the camera
a dress that is like the book's print all over, like the cover of the book is the front of the dress, and then the back is just all black.
Okay, you know what? And the I'm mad because I could see Omarosa doing some goofy shit.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Exactly like that. Fuck her. She's out the club. Ava Ryan was dragging. Actually, no, I'm not gonna bring that up.
No, I know what you're talking about.
So good though. It was so good. Don't fuck Omarosa.
It's just like the audacity.
Right. Like, who?
And everything that, and like all of her.
Who do you bitches think you are? But, I'm just so confused. But anyway.
Jennifer Hudson is smack dab in the middle of an ugly divorce.
Divorce? They got married?
I mean, separation.
Oh my God.
I forgot about that. I just assumed that they were married because they were supposed to get married for like a decade.
Right. No, they just been engaged a long ass time.
I'd be forgetting. So they hate each other. And
yikes.
Apparently they're working on their separation and things with the child and such.
Right.
I read that Jennifer was asking the judge to force Punk to get a job.
His name is Punk. And he does need to get a job. What the fuck?
Well, he tells the media and the judge.
The media? Is that TMZ?
Yes. For your very business. That he has a job and Jennifer knows it. And first of all, she is the one who gave him an ultimatum 5 years ago, which was to quit wrestling, which he was doing, or she was going to leave him and take their child with him. I don't know. Maybe it's because, I don't know if it was because like he was getting hurt or just him being a wrestler was embarrassing. But
I mean, if his checks was that good, then I don't think, anyway.
They were never going to be as good as Jennifer's. I mean, you're still going to be the breadwinner in the house, you Jennifer Hudson.
Right. No, he was never going to make as much as you do.
But he says that she's the one who made him stop wrestling or whatever, which, I mean, I guess I could believe. I don't know, whatever. But he says that he still works with WWE, doing like correspondent stuff like that, and he's acting or whatever. So, I mean, he does not have like a...
Oh, Lord.
I don't know what he does, but he definitely... He definitely is working in like correspondent stuff and the niggas who sit on the side of the ring, I guess, and talk in the microphone about them.
I watch zero wrestling, so.
But you know, they have like the people, the announcers on the side, the same way like I guess basketball does.
Really? They have commentators right there outside the ring?
Yeah.
When I tell you I watch zero wrestling.
I used to watch it when it was WWF. Like when I was like a kid,
yeah.
My uncle lived by wrestling. Like, I watched it when The Rock started wrestling. So
I've never really watched
but
wrestling.
I was really, really young, and then I figured out that it wasn't real and I didn't really enjoy it any as much anymore. I still probably watched it for like a solid year after finding out that it was fake.
Yeah.
Just because I was invested in the stories and stuff, I guess.
The stories, yeah.
Because that's really what it is. Like, you have like villains and people you like and like the weird drama of the shit backstage. It's like very obviously once you are old enough, you can tell it's not real. Nobody really has to tell you.
Right.
But it's not fun.
Well, they was hitting niggas with folding chairs and
right.
shit.
Right.
So...
it's not, like, fun because you think it's real. It's fun because you get invested in a whole bunch of other shit.
Gotcha.
But after a while, I just grew out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, they have, like, announcers that sit along or outside of the ring or whatever.
Gotcha.
And sometimes they even get their ass beat because they're all in on the show, I guess.
Right. I was never into wrestling. I think as a kid, I was just like, watching people beat each other up is just not my idea of a good time.
Well, I was young and gay, so I saw Buff... pretty much naked niggas leaping around on each other.
The fact that...
and then these sickening girls in these outfits, like, beating each other asses and stuff and pulling each other's hair. Wrestling was lit when I was, like, 8, I guess, 9. I don't know.
I just wasn't into it.
I thought it was so fun.
After Mike Tyson bit off Evander Holyfield's ear...
that is boxing.
Oh.
That's, like, real fighting.
Right.
Like, they are really hurting each other.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Like,
so, never mind. That's not the same.
That's not funny. But...
well, that was crazy.
They get, like, serious. Well, no. Yes, that was insane.
But I think my reasoning for not watching boxing, which, I mean...
I love
the fact that I just
too.
Sat here and confused. I think because they have the same kind of ring, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... but it's the same thing. I do not want to watch two people beat each other up.
I love it.
Mm-mm.
I've always loved when I still love boxing.
I like fights though, like real fights. Like
I like UFC matches, but usually like the people I see in UFC stuff, they all look like they would spit in my face and call me monkey.
Oh, okay. So like Appalachian whites,
right.
Flyover state whites.
They just all look like they have been training for years in their backyard.
Oh, okay.
I'm just, they frighten me.
Oh, okay.
But the matches are sometimes fun to watch or whatever. Anyway.
I mean, I know I'm the weirdo because WrestleMania is like huge.
I think they just had Royal Rumble or something like that.
They were somewhere at the same time we were, I think.
Yes, Dallas.
Maybe in the Dallas.
I feel like
there
it was
a
Texas.
Wrestle something, yeah. And white people showed the fuck up.
They were in the same hotel as us.
Yeah, they had a pop-up shop.
It may have been L.A.
Where people were selling like $500 belts. No, I think
yes,
it was Dallas.
I think it was Dallas, too. I remember
everything
them.
Was just so extra. And I was like, okay, I'm the one who doesn't get it. Like,
but I didn't know who any of those wrestlers were. Like, I don't know who most of them are anymore.
I mean, I don't know any.
I know one wrestler named Roman Reigns, but that's only because I think he's gorgeous.
Isn't The Rock's niece or cousin or something? Isn't
I think
she in
I think he's related. Let me get to Google.
What's her name?
Naya
something. Naya Jax.
I think he's got lots of family member I Slayed wrestlers now.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think that's what I heard about her. And she looks like she could be related to him. She's 6 feet tall. My God. Go off. 240 pounds. She be beating bitches' asses. Or at least I think the one clip I saw her. She was whooping somebody's ass, but that's probably the only person I can name who wrestles.
Well, that's a good.
That's all I got.
That's enough.
I don't know any of the men.
That's fair.
So, okay.
Well, you know, I don't know what's going on too much with these two, but
how
they
did we
are,
end up talking about wrestling as opposed to?
Because Punk wants you to know that he does work, just not in the ring as a wrestler.
So, well, he wants his spousal support regardless. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I figured that's what this was boiling down to.
And Jennifer is making millions from The Voice, so it's not even
fair.
Oh,
I was going to
say. He says that she has been more focused on money while he's been focused on raising their 8-year-old son.
With her money. You can't raise these kids on nothing. Well, somebody got to work. What you mean?
I mean...
yes, you can focus on raising our son because I'm the one out here hustling for these dollars. You're welcome. What you mean? And not to say that that's not a job and work, because Lord knows taking care of kids is work and you deserve to be compensated for that or whatever else. But nigga, like if she not working, how are you going to take care of the kid? How? So that just seems ridiculous to me. If he wants his spousal support or they sharing custody or whatever, then that's a whole nother conversation.
I just hope that works out for them. Nobody wants to have all their inner, you know, relationship. I just broke up with this nigga business all over the place.
I mean, where is all this even coming from? It sounds like a bunch of He said, she said.
I mean, I guess easily attained just by getting court documents or whatever, or speaking to the lawyer.
I cared a lot more about the WrestleMania conversation than this whole separation.
I did
thing,
too. That
to
was
be
way more
honest.
Interesting.
Right. I don't even care. Whatever.
Oh, what was that guy's name who used to always sit on people and he had a big butt? Was it Rashiki?
What?
Yes.
Wrestler who sat on people.
Yes. Oh,
WWE wrestler who sat on people's faces. That is. Oh, wow. Rikishi's think face.
Rikishi. Oh, that's back in my day of wrestling.
He did this to The Rock. Whoa. Oh, he thick.
He used to do that all the time. I used to think it was the funniest thing. I was just like a little runt just sitting in
Wait,
my grandma's house
eating?
Watching.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. He got all on his waist china with a thong and some tassels.
He used to dress like Black China.
Dude, this could be a stripper's outfit easily. Yeah. And some knee-high boots.
When he came to that
Putting
ring,
his ass
bitch,
in niggas' faces. Yo, what the fuck? No wonder you loved this.
Duh.
The like, Rock is eating this nigga's ass.
Like, pretty much.
Oh, my God.
Wrestling was popping.
This is blatantly sexual. Like, wow. Okay.
Mike from the real world was a wrestler, too.
I remember that.
The Miz.
The Miz.
That was so weird.
It was
because he went from the real world to then the challenges, always talking about his obsession with wrestling, and he got this wrestling alter ego, and then he just was.
Right. I was like, so the white boy said he wanted to be a wrestler, and y'all were like, okay, right. Like, is that easy? Really?
Yep.
Okay. Anything if you're white.
Jill Scott and her husband are also having very ugly issues. Her soon-to-be ex-husband. She was married to him for just over a year before she filed for divorce, citing irreconcilable differences and marital misconduct or some shit.
Oh, so he cheated.
Maybe something along those lines. But he's requesting that the prenup be thrown out, which I didn't even know you can do. Like, isn't the whole point of having a prenup
so that
signed,
it can be thrown
so
out?
Right. If we get here.
I mean, I think you can if, like, it was signed illegally or something.
Yeah,
but
probably.
Not just because you don't want it to be a thing no more.
But I think he says that she, like, rushed him into signing it a couple weeks before the wedding or something like that, which doesn't sound like it makes a difference to me. Like, if I were a
I'm
judge.
I'm not marrying you if you don't sign it. I don't care if that makes you feel rushed. I'm not fucking marrying you if you don't sign the prenup,
so,
nigga.
Would you like to push back or cancel the date? Which one? Because we just won't be doing
If you need
this.
Some more time to think about it, then we need to let everybody know, nigga, the flowers and shit is coming. So you just got to... Cause
you know how long it take to make greens. So, like, you need to hurry up and give me...
Do not get my big mama in there started on them greens if we do not need them.
What's it going to be?
For Thursday. So... You let me know.
Like, what is it?
I'm just not going to sign the marriage license unless you sign this first. So, yeah. Did he give a reason for wanting it thrown out?
Well, yeah. That was his reason, apparently.
Oh, that was his reason.
Because he, felt like he was rushed into signing it. And he wants $500,000 from her for the pain and suffering that the divorce has been causing him.
$500,000 for the pain of... Niggas break up every day, B. What?
All of the time.
They hurt, and then you move on. So, I'm not seeing $500,000.
I always picture, like, when the reverse happens, and it's, like, some rich celebrity guy breaking up with whatever girl that he met at Nobu.
Right.
I always imagine it being, like, the first... like, the first few minutes of the Diary of a Mad Black Woman film.
Where
they dragged Kimberly black ass out of that house.
Oh.
Like, I feel like that's just how niggas get to, like, you signed the prenup.
Right.
Like, and not long ago. Like, this wasn't in the 70s, 80s, 60s.
Right.
Like,
this was a few years at the most.
Like, a year and a half.
Right.
You just signed this. You know what a prenup is. Right. Like, bitch.
This is in case we break up. Especially we would break up ridiculously soon. Like, in 2 years. So, what? No. Pack your things. Take your $5,000 severance check or whatever it is. I'm sure he's not getting nothing. But $500,000 is ridiculous. Especially if he did something to cause her to want to file for a divorce, no especially.
No wonder Jennifer took 10 years to get married or not get married.
Right, or not get married. No. Exactly.
Wonder Shonda Rhimes said, not for me.
It's not for me either. No, I don't, thanks. I really, why get married when you could have an Oprah Stedman situation?
It just sounds safer.
It does. It does. It just, because at any point, I can get up and get the fuck out of here. And I need to, I need that reassurance. I need that for me. So I don't want to. I don't want to feel bound to you through a contract.
I feel like Oprah would give Stedman like a dozen horses.
A dozen horses.
Half a dozen.
What the fuck is Stedman gonna do with half a dozen horses?
Half a dozen of Oprah's horses. Hopefully, sell.
They can probably fly.
At least four of them. Like, you know how much you could get for Santa? Four Oprah horses, and then you have two horses to do with whatever you want. Like, bitch, please.
What the fuck strain are you on?
Granddaddy part.
Oh my God, nigga.
Stedman's not getting nothing. But Stedman also would not have to fight to get anything either. You know that Oprah would be like,
you.
Here are all the crops that they harvested today.
Right, no, he could pack as many vegetables as he wants on his way out.
Maybe like one cow.
He probably doesn't even have to leave the estate.
No, probably not.
He could probably just move to a different acre and just stay out of her business.
Honestly, I feel like Oprah probably sees Stedman for like Sunday breakfast. Then honestly, he's so
and the
far
public
away
appearances
in the other
that
house.
She tells right. him he can come to. And that's it. Stedman is really living. I don't want to be the Oprah. I want to be the Stedman.
That's lit.
I need to find me a rich bitch who only wants me to, like, I have a short list of responsibilities, and other than that, I get to chill.
Nobody's pressuring him to be president.
Okay. Everybody's leaving Stedman the fuck alone.
And Stedman's got, like, worldwide respect. You see Stedman coming in, and you know that's Oprah.
That's Oprah's nigga. You better not try that nigga.
Don't ever disrespect that nigga right
because
there.
Because he could call Oprah right now, nigga.
And she'll pick up.
That's just not somebody I want to fuck with.
At all.
So, yeah. Stedman is that nigga. What?
I mean, Tyler Perry can do it too, but Stedman.
Why? Let's not bring up Tyler Perry because I feel like this is just an intro for you to be mean.
To what?
Just to Tyler Perry in general.
I don't have anything
to do with it. Right. No, I'm so glad you couldn't even finish that sentence. I'm just glad you knew.
I have nothing bad to say about Tyler Perry right now.
Right. That right now saved it, didn't it?
I'm just speaking the truth.
Are we done?
We're done.
Okay.
That's amen. It for Hot Tops for right now. Let's take a break. Hey guys, this week's episode is being brought to you by ShipStation. ShipStation.com is the fast and easy way to manage and ship your orders all from one place, whether you're using Shopify, Squarespace, Etsy, BigCommerce, WooCommerce, or over 75 other popular selling channels. ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface, making them easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. So if you'd like to save your time to cussing somebody out or binging some show you like, or, you know, running after your kids, this is a great way to take care of all of those orders. In a fast way. You can use ShipStation to create shipping labels for all the top carriers, including UPS, FedEx, USPS, and more. With ShipStation, you'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. This is why ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers.
True, and right now you can try ShipStation free for 30 days and get an extra month free if you use our promo code READ. So don't wait. Go to ShipStation.com, click on the mic at the top of the homepage, and type in READ. That's ShipStation.com. Hit the mic and enter promo code READ. ShipStation, make ship happen. And let's get back to the show.
All right, so we're back. It is time for our listener letters.
It is. Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com. We may read them aloud on the show. We have an update from the girl who was about to go on vacation to Jamaica with her ex-friend who got her pregnant.
Right.
And that whole mess. And so yeah. We asked, you know, why can't you just cancel it? And she wrote us back with, you know, all the reasons why that didn't make any sense. Okay. She wasn't finna do that.
Okay.
So she said, I know this update is overdue, but a lot has happened since I wrote in. I survived the trip to Jamaica. It was a great experience and a salve for my mental health. As far as my friend is concerned, we spoke as cordially as possible while we were there. And while drunk, our relationship seemed to turn to normal. Return to normal. That's common.
Well,
alcohol
will
break down.
What way?
Well, I think just friendly that, enough. Right, friendly enough to get through the vacation.
Okay, cool.
Right. We drove home together after we landed in Miami and had the conversation that we needed. Once we dropped our friend off at home and continued our journey, we could speak more freely, and he apologized to me wholeheartedly and explained his actions. He mentioned being stressed, taken aback, and disconnected from me as a whole. I told him that I forgave him and wanted to determine a new direction for our relationship, aka we are never fucking again.
Good.
We have reset our relationship and are working towards being friends again. I was totally ready to excommunicate him from my life, but Jamaica gave us the healing we needed individually and as friends. Thank you for giving me the advice to talk to him. It truly helped. Love you both. Be blessed.
Oh, well, that's great.
I know, right? I was like, okay, an instance of us not ruining someone's
right.
life. That is lovely. I am so glad y'all had the chance to talk. I feel like if it was going to happen anywhere, why not Jamaica?
Yeah.
Especially if you all were drinking something amazing or smoking something amazing at the time.
It could have been a Real Housewives episode. Right. Everybody ain't able.
Everybody, right. Y'all actually handled this maturely and got through the vacation and then talked it out like adults. And the point about not sleeping with each other anymore is so important.
I'm so glad that you landed there.
Yes.
Because I was really afraid that it was going to be, and then we slept together again.
Right.
Like, I felt it coming and it didn't. So I'm glad.
And you're working towards being friends again. You realize you can't just jump back into things like nothing ever happened. You know, you got to right. kind of, you know, learn each other in a different way.
That does,
yes, that excludes genitals. So, yes, thank you so much for that update. And let's see, we have... Our first question this week comes from Camille.
Hey.
She says, I love this show and I never thought I would have something to write in and ask for advice because for the most part, I try to stay out of the way and mind my own business. But here I am.
Same.
About a week ago, my friend Jayla got engaged and asked me to be a bridesmaid in her wedding. I no longer live in our hometown and I do not go home often, but I told her I would make every effort on my part to be there for her wedding. After I agreed, she said that she needs me to work out whatever is going on between me and our mutual friend, Tasha, because Tasha does not want to be in the wedding if I'm in it.
I don't know why I remember you.
I did not know what she meant. She said that Tasha is still mad at me for being friends with her ex-boyfriend's wife.
Wait.
Tasha.
She's mad at you for being friends with her ex-nigga's wife.
Right.
Okay.
So Camille says, I was completely confused because I did not even know that Tasha and I were not speaking. About 2.5 years ago, one of my friends contacted me and said she knew a girl from our town who was moving to my new area with her husband, and he was not able to move in with her right away, but she still needed help getting settled in. I said I would help, and we linked up and became cool. When her husband finally moved here, I still hadn't met him and had never met the guy before anyway. I knew his name and that he was from where I'm from, but it never occurred to me that he was Tasha's ex. I posted a picture on Instagram, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram is where it all went wrong.
Of course.
On Instagram with the wife, and Tasha called me and told me that that was her ex-boyfriend's wife. I was confused as to why this mattered. And we didn't stay on the phone long. Never once was it mentioned that she wanted me to stop being this girl's friend. And I just decided that I needed to keep them separate. And whatever either of them tells me, I would not repeat to the next. I was not going to stop being this girl's friend, though, just because she's in a strange place and knew no one else but me. Even though we just met, I was not going to leave her out here destitute. Tasha feels like I betrayed her, and I think it is childish. We are not in high school anymore. I told Jayla I would talk to her and see how this goes and that I would apologize for making her feel as if I betrayed her, but I will not apologize for being the friend of the wife. Am I wrong? Sincerely, Camille.
You know,
what a wreck.
I love that she is like so completely indifferent about the whole situation, so much so that she's like really missing. She's like,
what am I missing here?
Like, she's like, I wasn't aware that I wasn't supposed to be this girl's friend because you missed the part when she called you and said, oh, that's my ex-boyfriend's wife. She's like, I'm confused as to why that matters. That was her telling you, don't talk to this bitch. Like,
and the whole time, Camille's like, I don't...
Oh, okay.
What?
Like, fun fact. Camille was legit right. confused. Oh, my gosh.
And meanwhile, Tasha's over here pissed.
Livid. Like,
in her feelings for no good reason.
I wonder how long ago... It must have been a minute if he's, like, married now. Even though niggas get married after a cough these days.
The girl moved to town to Camille's new town 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
Which means Tasha should have been got the fuck over. Meaning they've been married for at least that long.
Right.
So Tasha should have been got over this.
Yeah, this should not bother this you is... so much that you that her randomly ending up friends with your ex's wife.
You're not the wife, girl. Tasha, sis, you're not the fucking wife.
Right.
So you need to let go of this relationship. Like, you being so angry.
Yeah, she's got to get over
it. And her being nice to this nigga's wife is like, really? Why do you even care?
Like, if she was like, I mean, you're the one writing it. If you were bringing his wife around her to like all her events or every time y'all hang out, then you're, you know, doing the most. You made a conscious decision, not even caring or realizing that this was even supposed to be a thing.
Right.
To not go back and forth with them about each other's business or talk about it. Like, I think that you're handling it the way that a mature adult should. And I do think that it's just a little petty, although I live in petty. Like, I roll around in petty. I'm super petty.
Yeah.
But I think it's just a little too petty to be this upset with you for being kind to someone who hasn't really done anything to you, or it sounds like anything to her. Seems like the issue that she should have, she shouldn't really have an issue with anybody at this point, but let's just say that her ex-boyfriend scarred her, you know, as niggas may. So
they could have really done some horrible
damage. Like some horrible damage.
Really could have.
But that shouldn't have anything to do with this woman that you are friends with. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not going out with them every Thursday to Denny's or Olive Garden where they don't serve brown bread.
No, and do not.
If you're going out with them all the time and talking about how horrible Jayla was or whoever and how she sucked in the game of relationships. Like, what's the big deal for you being friends with this girl? Like, I don't even know how you would address that in a conversation, because I'm not going to apologize to you for that, because it's not deserving of an apology. And like, I wouldn't be sorry. So
I would go back to the mutual friend, the bride, who's like, well, you know, Tasha's still mad at you over this, and be like, so listen, that's Tasha's problem.
Right.
Because Tasha's mad at me about nothing.
Right.
So if she refuses to be in the wedding, then I guess you have to decide which one of us you want in the wedding, or tell her to get out of her fucking feelings, because she's being ridiculous about this.
Right.
And if it's something, if she's mad enough at Camille, the person who wrote the letter, to be like, I'm not going to be in the wedding with her. If the nigga did something that bad, that we all still need to be mad at him, girl, you need to tell me what it is, because as of now, I don't see any good reason for me not to be friends with this woman. Like, you haven't given me a reason to not speak to her.
And you didn't even meet her under the, like, you didn't even know when you met her that this was that boy. You know what I'm saying?
And had never even met that man anyway. So if she had met the two of them together, she still wouldn't have known.
Like, right. It's kind of like, what do you expect?
What do you really want? Right. What do you really want for me to do here?
Yeah, I would do exactly that. I would probably tell Jayla. Jayla's the one getting married.
Yeah, Jayla.
I would tell Jayla, like, look, I don't know what I can do in this situation, because it's a ridiculous situation. Right. And so, like,
I'm too old for this, girl.
I feel like the person who needs a conversation right now more than anyone is Tasha. Mm-hmm. So I would probably go and speak to her about this, because this is foolishness.
Right. Tasha used to call me. Or you could call her and be like, so listen, like, bitch, what's the issue?
Because honestly, if she called me, I don't really have anything for her. Like, I'm not going to be like, so, hey, Patrice, or whatever the girl's name is. Like, we ain't going to be friends no more because this random girl just all of a sudden said that you married to her ex. Like, that would just be so dumb. Like,
I'm a grown woman. I'm not about to stop being friends with her because you used to date her man. What? I'm just too old. I'm too old for that.
Yeah.
We weren't best friends since birth or nothing, bitch. It's not that serious.
She's got to get past that. That's really silly.
All right. Good luck to you. Our next question comes from Michelle, who says, I'm a 36-year-old Korean-American woman. I have been married to a wonderful black man for 8 years. Our oldest is 5 and the little one is 2. From the moment I brought my husband, then boyfriend, home to meet my family a decade ago, my mother was very supportive. I didn't expect anything different because she has always been a source of inspiration of social justice for me. Excuse me. She is very passionate about equality, particularly for the Black community, because she believes they face the most injustice and oppression of any people.
All right, Mama.
She and my husband get along very well and even hang out together without me. And when I gave birth to my baby, she took care of them better than I did. She is the best grandmother and my children adore her. All of this is why I was so shocked and heartbroken when she told me she didn't want to take my children with her to Korea this summer. This is a tradition in our family that my mother takes the grandchildren to Korea to meet the relatives. She explained that she didn't want to take Jamie and Lucas, those are the kids' names, with her because of the color of their skin. I started to cry because I wondered if she was ashamed of them, and she got angry when I accused her of being racist. She asked me if I forgot how horrible Korea can be because the racism there can be even worse than it is here in the U.S. She said that at 5 years old, Jamie is old enough to be deeply affected and scarred by the racism, but too young to understand that it's the culture and society's problem, not his. She asked me to imagine the trauma he would suffer if his cousins and aunts and uncles made him feel inferior. I told her that I would physically attack them and disown them if they did. But she said, at the end of the day, my children would still be the ones who bear the hurt and the scars. Mm. I spoke with my husband that night, and to my surprise, he agrees with my mother. Mm. I tried to explain to him that our children are Black, but also Korean, and I want to share that part of their background with him. There are still wonderful parts of the culture that I believe can enrich them, but I am also willing to never take them over there and to never bring it up if it means it'll hurt them. So I wanted to get your thoughts. If you were in my children's position, what would you choose? Would it be better to go abroad or not? Would it be more traumatizing to later learn that you were never introduced to relatives because they might be racist, or to hear and suffer racial slurs but have your parents there to defend you and teach you that the color of your skin is perfect? Thank you for everything you two do. Much love, Michelle.
Well, Michelle, if I were in your kid's position, I would want bubble guppies or fruit snacks. Really, like,
5 and 2.
They're 5 and 2.
I'm going to want to party all day.
Right.
Let's get started on that.
I don't.
Call Blue Ivy. She's got a plan.
It's complicated. I've never been to Korea, so I can't and won't really comment on, you know, the racism out there because I don't know how it is. But I'm going to go ahead and believe your mama and say that it's as bad as she says it is. And it sounds like she, just by the way that you are wording the things she said, it sounds like she has sense.
Mm-hmm.
And knows what she's talking about when it comes to discrimination, race, and things like that. I just think this is complicated because it doesn't sound like she doesn't want to take them there because she's ashamed of them or because she doesn't want, you know, anybody to know she has, you know, mixed grandbabies or Black grandbabies or whatever. It really sounds more like she's scared of them being hurt by right. the experience, which I can understand. She's their grandma and that kind of thing. And I do guess I kind of agree that at least a 5-year-old might be old enough to be like, I feel bad because of, like, right. I don't
People
know exactly why. Either being
right.
mean to me or whatever, but I know like what they're being mean to me about and I don't get it and I feel bad. I do kind of, I understand that. And I think it sucks that like her own family,
right.
she feels like she can't bring them there. And it sounds like she has other grandkids.
Right.
So
that do go to
right. Korea and stuff like that. So I guess that it is upsetting or whatever. Maybe, I don't know. I will say this. I can't speak from the perspective of the kid, but maybe as like if I had kids and I was in this situation, I would think, do I want for my kids to have this experience in Korea at this age and possibly get hurt by it or scarred mm-hmm. by it, or maybe wait a little bit until they're at least a little bit older to understand where,
right.
like what racism is or how it kind of works and that there's nothing wrong with them so that when they do go and they, if they do experience it, whatever, they're a little bit more prepared.
Right.
I just don't know. I'm not a parent and I'm not Korean, so I'm doing the best I can here. But if my parents were to say to me, like, look, I'm afraid that if I take them here or whatever, this or that might fuck with their, like, confidence or the way that they see themselves or whatever, mm-hmm. I would be a little concerned, too.
Right.
More than just, like, mom, you're racist. Because right. it doesn't sound like that's what it is.
Yeah, no. It sounds like she knows the rest of the family is racist.
Right.
She just doesn't want her grandbabies to be hurt. And that's super understandable. So I feel like I agree with her, if only because she's telling you about her damn family.
Right.
She's telling you this is how them motherfuckers act.
Right.
And I just really don't want to put the kids through that. It's not that they can't ever go to Korea, but I think she has a point about them not really being able to understand like why people are being so bitchy to them, like no context of race or racism really at five and especially two. It's like they don't.
It may not even be things that they say to them all of the time. It may just be the way that they look at them or don't or interact or do not interact with them and stuff. So
It could just be the simple act of feeling excluded around everybody else and knowing that you're being singled out and not really getting that your skin color is the reason. And that's just shit.
Yeah.
Like even by strangers, but especially by family. So. I don't know. I think if I were you, I would probably hold off on taking them to Korea for a few years, maybe when they're like 8 and 5 or just, I don't know.
If it helps, like, I feel like the older they get, the more they would be able to appreciate whatever is going on in Korea as culture.
You're spending all this money for these kids to fly and they like are not going to give one fuck about where they
nothing.
Like, where are we going? I have to sit on the plane for how long?
Where the fuck are the SpongeBob gummies? Like, I don't care about anything else around here. Right. Do they have fruit snacks?
I'm thinking about the amount of money you have to spend to take kids over there anyway.
Right.
Which just sounds like so much. And then
I don't remember nothing that I went to when I was 5.
I literally did not go nowhere. So I didn't get on a plane for the first time until I was like in my 20s, definitely. Maybe 23, 24.
I'm pretty sure I was like 1.
Yeah, no. We only took road trips. We just would drive for days.
We flew back and forth to Jamaica like literally every single summer. But well, my dad worked for Air Jamaica.
Right.
So it was like nothing for us to get on a flight. But other places too, we came to New York and all kinds of shit. I don't remember none of that shit when I was a baby. I just remember like if I had like cousins and stuff like that that were around my age and we ran around. But like, you know, you will be old enough to know that somebody is treating you bad.
Right.
But you're not going to be old enough to realize why this Korean landmark or something like that is so important.
Right. And I mean, maybe you just want them to be a little bit older so that they understand when you're going off on your relatives exactly why you're doing that. Like, this will give you and your husband some time to come up with a game plan, and get ready for having to cuss out your own damn family. Right. Hopefully, by then, they're less ridiculous about this. Like, this seems so insane that you have to be like, oh, I can't take my kids to visit my family because they don't... They're mad because this baby is half black.
Hopefully your mom, at least when she does go over there, says to them like, so I didn't bring my other two grandbabies with me because I know you niggas
y'all are some
shit.
Racist pieces of shit.
So let's just have the conversation now for when I do bring them.
Yes, hopefully it's something like that. But yeah, I don't blame you if you just let the kids stay at home, especially if your husband agrees. It's just like, why put yourself through that?
Because Lord knows how his black mama probably feel about that situation.
You better not take my babies to no damn Korea.
God willing, his mom is around or whatever. But you tell that same story to his folks and see how they feel about it.
So our last question comes from Eminem. She says, I'm newly engaged to my boyfriend of 5 years and everything between us is amazing.
Sorry to hear that.
One night after our engagement, we were pillow talking and I told him that there's something that's been weighing on me from my past that I would like to share with him.
What doesn't he wash?
But I'm afraid that it might change his view of me.
Oh, what don't you wash?
I ended it at that. And of course, he tried to get me to elaborate further, but I just brushed it off and told him that I'll let him know when the time is right.
What? Okay.
I hate when people do that.
Despise
by the way, Eminem, that is so frustrating.
What is wrong with you?
Do not tell me. Oh, I got something to tell you. Oh, I'll tell you later. Bitch, you should have said that when you was ready to tell me. What the fuck?
Like, what is your problem?
Anyway, the thing that I've neglected to tell him is that I used to be a prostitute before we got together.
Okay.
I was in a very mentally abusive relationship and I felt ostracized from my family and friends and was forced to sell my body in order to keep up with the lifestyle that my boyfriend slash pimp couldn't and wouldn't provide for himself. That was the most shameful and very lowest point of my life, but I'm happy to say that those past transgressions have made me realize my true worth and has led me on the path to mental wellness, education, and my future husband.
That's right.
Fast forward to today, and my fiancé will not stop probing me about the big secret that I have refused to tell him.
Because
no shit, girl. You set this up in a horrible way.
Like, really bad.
Should I be honest with him and let him know everything, possibly risking my marriage, or should I just tell him some less intense lie to cover my tracks? I truly love this man with everything within me, and even though I know he feels the same, I'd be a fool to believe that a man could easily look past that a man could easily look beyond my hoish past. Any advice from you guys, whether on or off air, would be greatly appreciated. Oh, girl, well, we picked you. You're on the air. Continue to lay these bitches' edges. Sincerely, Eminem.
All right. Well, you know, if he would not want to marry you because of a low point in your life where you went through something that a lot of women have gone through or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're just like, you know, I'm a prostitute right now and it's because I love it or I don't know, whatever. You know, like,
you did what you had to do.
You did what you had to do for yourself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Here we are now. Like, if he had a problem with that, then that's just not who he's supposed to marry to. And maybe you want to know that.
Right. I agree. Like, if a nigga can't understand context and circumstances, like, people get put in really fucked up situations that you can't imagine every single day.
All the time.
And have to make choices that you can't fathom all the time. And so I really try not to judge people, especially if they're like, I was in, you know, a really fucked up low place in life. And I made some decisions that reflect that because right. I have been in some fucked up low places in
like,
life.
Like, honestly, you could have told me that, you know, I was once a prostitute because I really, really wanted these Manolo Blahniks. And I wouldn't judge you. Like,
I would have been like, I mean, I have also coveted things enough to consider selling my body.
So, but you should be able to have an open conversation about this with the man that you're right. going to marry.
If nobody
and,
else.
Right. And not feel like ashamed or unworthy of him or whatever because of it. And mm-hmm. if he genuinely has a problem with it, yes, it's going to suck. And yes, that would be heartbreaking and things like that. But you don't need to be with that nigga. Because if he can't understand that this is something that you went through and why,
right.
then he's probably got other things that he feels mm-hmm. and things or whatever that you're going to disagree with. And it may not be, he just may not be the person for you.
Right.
But he's never going to stop bugging you because you already put a bug in his ear that you got this big secret.
Yeah, girl, I don't know why you did that.
So that kind of fucked everything
right,
up.
Right, so now he's just like, okay, so what is this? You got to... Do not be that nigga. What is the secret?
So you might as well, like, go ahead and tell him if you want to. But right. I definitely understand having, you know, trouble with it. Because, honestly, you could be like, I slept with 5 guys in 1 year. And a nigga might be like,
oh, my Whoa. God. 5 whole dicks. Like, meanwhile, they taking down 2 or 3 girls every weekend.
Every 1 week. So
niggas are just a mess. Oh my God. Me and Kia were watching one of them true crime shows on TV1. And this nigga had a wife and 2 girls on the side, mm-hmm. but was paranoid that his girl on the side was cheating on him. And so killed everybody. It was just like.
I almost laughed. I didn't.
Oh, it was, no, it's a fucked up story.
It was shocking.
But it's just an example of how niggas will, like, pull the dumbest shit and then...
So you
have 2 mistresses.
You thought that one of your mistresses, one of the women that you are cheating
on
with...
On your wife, right.
May have been cheating on you.
With your daddy. He thought that she was sleeping with his daddy.
And so everybody had to die.
Including his daddy. He shot his daddy, too. Nigga was nuts.
He killed the other mistress too?
How about mistress? He killed one of the mistresses. The other one, he came and stole her car when she went to sleep so he could go back out and start killing other people. But he didn't kill her. But mistress one called mistress two like weeks beforehand and was like, hey girl, I just want you to know that you sleeping with my man. And mistress two was like, well girl, we both sleeping with somebody else's husband. What's up? Like, she didn't even know that she was the mistress. She thought she was called. It was such a mess. And the whole time, me and Kia are like, look how niggas will be in some fucked up shit.
Because that sounds like normal nigga shit until the murders.
Right, until you decided to go nuts and kill people. But it's like, look at how you will be so wrong.
Right.
And then be paranoid that somebody else is wrong because you out here doing dirt. And then just take it entirely too far. So,
how are you cheating with multiple people and mad one of the bitches?
First of all, she deserves. What you mean? Don't nobody owe you monogamy when you are out here sleeping with at least 3 people? Ugh.
So anyway. He killed his wife?
Yes, he did. He killed his wife and one of the mistresses and his daddy.
She didn't do nothing to nobody.
Everything. The whole story was wild. I was just sitting there the whole time like, wow.
I heard they tap dance on his balls.
Oh, now. Yeah, no. I think they gave him like 60 life sentences. So that nigga's never getting out. But anyway, I think that you should tell your husband, and I think that his reaction should dictate like where you go from there. Mm-hmm. Like if he's acting like Kid Fury said and just being a nigga and acting like the fact that you have slept with multiple people is an issue for him, like he can't get over it. Like vaginas don't clean themselves or whatever. I don't know what his...
I would assume you've slept together before.
Right. I mean, y'all have been together 5 years, right?
Yesterday.
The same pussy you had 2 days ago. It's right there. So if he acts ridiculous about it, then that's one thing. But if he's hurt because you have kept this from him, or, you know, he feels like you have been deceptive in some way, I do think that that's... I won't say valid... Well... I think it's something worth going to therapy and talking to somebody about.
Okay.
Like, just work, but because you probably have some lingering issues from the time you spent in a low place.
Yeah, I could imagine.
And I'm sure your husband, if he is a good guy, like I hope he is, if this is a decent nigga that you're dealing with, he may feel a way about it, but not in like a, I can't be with you no more way, but just in a like... Maybe I don't know you like I thought I did. We're not as close as I thought we were, because I thought, you know, you would have shared something with this this with me a while ago.
But how could you not understand that that's something that's like hard for me to share?
It must be very difficult to say, which is why you need to say it before y'all get married.
Well, yeah, right. Definitely.
Right. It's a difficult thing to say, but if you feel like you can't say it to him, that might be a sign that y'all don't need to be married. Because it just seems like this is the sort of, it's weighing real heavy on your heart. So heavy that you couldn't even stop yourself from previewing it. So... No, do not make up a smaller, don't make up a less intense lie, because then you're going to have to think of a backstory for that lie and why it was such a big deal that you couldn't just say it then. No, just
tell him the truth, because honestly, it's nothing like, I understand it being rough, but I don't think you need to be ashamed of anything. Like, you had a really rough spot in your life and you have worked, you've done the work and you've put in the effort to, you know, heal from it mentally, physically, everything. And here you are now getting ready to marry somebody that you love. You deserve for that person should not only like be like warm in this conversation, but they should not only be supportive of you telling them or whatever, but supporting your like journey through any traumas that you may have had because of it, or whatever insecurities or anything that you may have, like any difficulty. They should be, again, the person you're with should be like an escape. And if he is making you feel bad or anything like that, then I just don't feel like that's somebody that you need to be with. And now is the perfect time to know. I do see what you are saying, though, about, you know, maybe feeling like, what else do I know?
I would be feeling a way if we were together for 5 years and you just now told me this after we got engaged. Like, I'm glad you told me, but I would certainly, if we weren't already in premarital counseling, I would definitely want to start. And it ain't nothing wrong with therapy.
Not a damn thing.
So,
not at all.
I would probably recommend therapy either way, but yeah. If the nigga is being disrespectful to you, then he's got to go.
Yeah, for sure.
You're better off without him.
Because it's not worth it.
All right, that wraps up this week's question. Send yours to ask3@gmail.com and we'll be right back.
Hey, you guys. Sherry's Berries and Pro Flowers have teamed up to help you really impress your Valentine this year with their perfectly paired collection. For those of y'all who are Team Bay or Bay Goals or whatever.
Something.
Go ahead and think inside the box this Valentine's Day, because this really is a one-of-a-kind gift. So if you have been a Reed listener letter and you're trying to make up for it, this is the way to do it. You can get dipped strawberries and flowers that will arrive together in a beautifully specially designed box that will keep your berries cold and your flowers fresh. That's what she said. Guaranteed. And right now, our listeners can save 20% on any one of their perfect paired combinations or any other gift over $29 with the promo code THEREED.
Yes, I love flowers. Receiving flowers is so fun and cute and something nice to put in my apartment, but the real gift is them damn berries.
They really are.
Because they are.
They are.
Delicious. There's only one way to get 20% off a perfectly paired gift over $29 featuring freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries and beautiful blooms from Pro Flowers. That's by visiting berries.com, berries.com today and entering our code THEREED at checkout. That's berries.com, code THEREED. Make that special somebody happy, because them berries are delicious.
Really
trying to tell you. Let them know we sent you, and let's move on.
Don't forget, today's sponsor is also Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to connect with an experienced, licensed therapist that you pick based on your preferences for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy. You do not have to worry about finding the time to fit another appointment into your crazy schedule. With Talkspace, therapy is as easy as sending a text. No commutes, no leaving the office, and no judgments. Every Talkspace therapist is fully licensed and goes through a rigorous screening process, in addition to thousands of hours of supervised professional training.
Yep, to match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/read. And as a special offer, just for our listeners, use coupon code READ to get $30 off your first month and show your support for the show. We were just saying in that last letter that there's nothing wrong with going to therapy. And if you've been feeling the urge to talk to somebody lately, go on over to Talkspace.com/read, promo code READ. Talkspace, it's therapy for how we live today. Now let's finish the show.
Okay, welcome back. And we are now ready for the read.
Hootie hoo!
And I am going to pass my read this week.
Pass the read like we used to.
Okay.
This comes from Ashley Bria. It says, "Dear white people, I'd like to share an experience I had online at a food cart near a bar where one of your brethren decided to use the oppression of people of color to make himself a victim of what, you asked? Being declined entry to a bar. Let's have a moment of silence to reflect on the injustice. Anyway. White bro and friend are on..." That's, she wrote. Okay.
White bro.
"White bro and friend are online outside getting rowdy. Why? Me and my black brother standing next to me speculated. Doesn't he know there are like 5 police right here? Oh yes, we remembered. White folks aren't afraid of police. It's carry
true.
On.
It's true.
White bro's friend proceeded to pop on the fellow whites." In parentheses, she put, "Y'all need to keep an eye on this white on white crime." "And a scuffle ensues. Police come running and tackle the perps. To me and black bro's astonishment, I thought only black folks got tackled like that," I exclaimed, "while SCAD students stood behind me uncomfortably." I don't know what school that is.
I don't know.
Southern
SCAD?
California. I don't know.
Okay.
"Here's South Carolina. Here's when my mind was blown. White bro's friend gets put in cuffs. White bro explodes in white indignation. On who? The whole police. He shouts, 'Are you fucking kidding me? This is bullshit.' And then you wonder why everyone hates you. This is police brutality." Me and my black bro's jaws respectively hit the ground. "No, no, white bro. No, tell me this is not what you're going to do. People hate the police because they can't get into bars after fighting. Not Philando Castile, Walter Scott, Freddie Gray. Is you serious?
Oh my God.
I know I have a college education, but this exchange warranted no subject verb agreement because it was outrageous."
Oh, I love that sentence.
Me too. "White bro proceeds to start a chant with the crowd against the police. 'Fuck you, fuck you,' the thugs shouted, outraged."
Yes, the fuck.
"Spittle flew from their lips. Revolutionary fire crackled in their eyes.
Go off, sis.
They were united for a cause. They were serving a purpose. I was waiting for them to link arms and sing Scandinavian spirituals.
Oh my God.
Who knows? Me and my friend and black bro quietly walked in the other direction. I share my experience to say this. It is not okay to make a legitimate issue that is causing the death of hundreds a year about you. It is not okay to minimize police brutality to your stupid ass getting arrested because you were fighting outside of a bar. First of all, your gripes were unwarranted. You were wrong. Second of all, if by some off chance you do experience police brutality, and that's what finally makes you stand up and say something, go to hell. People of color have been screaming it from the rooftop for years. How selfish can you be to only give a shit when it happens to you or a loved one? I'm offering the sincerest of fuck yous to that guy and any other son of a bitch who decides to hop on the bandwagon for a cause only when it affects them." And that's what Ashley Bria McCormick had to say.
And I... First of all, Ashley, where's your book, girl?
I want it.
The way you wrote that.
Scandinavian spirituals? Yes.
What the fuck does that sound like?
I guess what Rose sings herself.
Irish niggas doing they tap dancing.
Rose Nylund sings it before
bed. Oh my God, good night. The Fluverclavin.
I don't...
It don't even matter.
Hoodencoddles?
I love it.
So thank you so much for that. I thought that was absolutely fantastic. And
I had a great time with that one.
White boys in cargos and polos usually, you know, they do
this is
chant
why
out,
nobody respects them.
Things like that. When it happens to them, it does have to happen to them first, but then they still don't acknowledge when it happens to us.
Yeah, no. What? And if a black boy was detained by police and decided to start yelling at them, that would have ended very, very differently.
They just would have shot everybody black around. We didn't want to riot.
And you, ma'am.
Just anybody.
This is what you get for being here. Brown. Right. So, girl, I share your frustration.
Just write us more things. Just whatever is on your mind, whatever you're pissed off about.
Next time you get angry, make sure you write us another email.
Just write us more.
I greatly enjoyed that.
Hey guys, it's me. I'm back. Like, whatever. That was just fun to read. That's what I was sitting over here laughing at before the show.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's what it was.
Because what? Spittle flew from their lips.
Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about this week was also white people being ridiculous.
Okay.
I have just three short things I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
First is that every single time that I take Uber, Lyft, any of the car sharing people, and my driver happens to be white, I will say maybe 80% of the time I get a phone call from them before they come pick me up asking where I'm going. And when they find out I'm going to Harlem or Uptown or anything like that, they're like, oh, okay, okay. And they hang up the phone. And then when I get there, they bitch to me about having to go Uptown.
What?
It's so crazy. I've had to take a lot of cars over the past couple of weeks, like more than usual. And it's like, rarely do I get a white driver in the first place.
Yeah.
But when I do, and I happen to be in Lower Manhattan, they always have an attitude for having to go up to Harlem or uptown. And I'm like,
you're a driver.
So do you understand, though, right, that like you drive cars?
Right.
Your job is to pick up people who have prepaid for this ride.
Yes.
Because my card has been pre-authorized.
Yeah.
So you're going to get paid for this ride.
It's going
to
happen.
Regardless. Like, that's the whole benefit to you over driving a yellow cab is you know you're getting your money and I can't ghost on this ride. Like,
right.
I can't just get out the fucking car. So why you have an attitude for having to go anywhere is beyond me because your job is to fucking drive. Do you really think the number one reason I use y'all over trying to get on the street and find a cab is so that I do not have to hassle and argue with you about where I'm fucking going? It's in the app. He's talking about, oh, I can't see the address till I get there. Well, then guess what? I guess you need to come pick me the fuck up because I don't care that you're upset about having to go to Harlem. And then you want to sit here and talk to me about how you have to go uptown.
What if I had to go to like East New York or something?
Sir, I don't care. I'll put in whatever the fuck address I want to app, and that's where you're taking
there.
Me. Like, and if you don't want to do it, then turn off your little notifications or your little availability button or whatever, and don't fucking drive no more tonight. I don't understand why it seems to be white cabbies who have this issue.
This never happened to me. But I can't think of the last time I had a white driver.
Right.
Either.
It usually doesn't happen, but when it does, I've noticed that they are just like so weird about having to come uptown. Like, do you not realize this is the majority of the reason people of color use you any fucking way? And I be tipping them, but when they have I tip, you know, Uber and Lyft drivers. But if you have an attitude about where you have to take me, then that's not happening. Because, bitch, what?
I don't get it.
You're getting paid.
Like,
so
it's
anyway,
your job.
Fuck these weirdly entitled white Uber drivers. Like, girl, you're there's nothing wrong with driving for Uber or Lyft, but that is your job, to drive. So just
in this
fucking
big city where people are going all over the place.
Like, I don't get it, but fine. Whatever. Fuck you.
So stupid.
An additional fuck you goes out to the white tennis player Spencer Brown.
Mm.
He is a freshman at Appalachian State University.
I bet.
In North Carolina. So that just sounds like, honestly, MAGA U.
Yeah.
It does. Like where they go.
It does sound like it.
Anyway, they had a match with North Carolina A&T State, which of course is an HBCU.
Mm-hmm.
And during the match, young Spencer was playing John Wilson, a black player, and got very upset. I'm assuming he lost the match.
Sounds like it.
But John tweeted that along with other racist comments, Spencer said, at least I know my dad. Which to me is like, okay, I see what you were trying to say here. Like, I see that you were trying to insult me, like, oh, haha, a black kid doesn't know his dad. But you being a dick leads me to believe that your dad is probably also a dick. So you knowing your shithead of a father does not really invoke any jealousy in me over here.
Did you teach you how to play tennis? Because
And their coach was saying, like, apparently, you know, they reacted and was like, wow, this is blatantly racist. How dare you be such a dick? And their coach said, well, we have a black guy on our team, which is
oh, that helps. There it goes. What?
White people's favorite. favorite line is, wait a minute, we cannot be racist. We know a black.
Have once spoken to a black.
He's on the bus right now, in the back, to be honest. And he can tell you that we're not racist. So once this went on Twitter, of course, it went viral. And Appalachian State put out a statement saying that after the men's tennis match, you know, Spencer said some racist and derogatory things.
He wasn't finished.
And so he has now been suspended indefinitely from the team for violating the student athlete discipline policy. Apparently, John said that he is never coming back.
Oh, no.
So, well, no, not John, but the young white man is never going to be allowed to play tennis again.
Of course he said that.
Right. So, I mean, it is what it is. I just wanted to point out that a lot of you seem to think that the youth will make things better and this young generation will not be so racist, but they've grown up with racist parents and grandparents. And so a lot of them believe that we are inferior to them, just like they people do.
Like the way our parents have a talk with us, theirs have talks with them.
Right. I mean, but you would think there was enough representation in the media of black people being so much better at sports than white people that they would be over that.
Right. They were just prepared to lose. Like,
didn't you when you saw me, you didn't automatically think you was going to lose. I don't get it, my God.
Nerve, this nigger to beat me.
Well, I'm actually surprised that Appalachian State did discipline this young man, because like I said, I feel like it's nothing but Republicans working over there. But very glad to hear that they at least did take some action against
him. Maybe it made enough rounds in the media that they just felt pressure.
Well, I mean, it was everywhere.
White people will buckle.
Right. At least I know my dad. The statistics say white dad's not any better than black ones. The statistics say men are out here being garbage pretty much across the board.
It's kind of a...
None of you need brag about what's going on over there.
Your daddy didn't help you win, it sounds like, so.
And the last story I wanted to talk about actually goes out. I rarely cuss out, not rarely cuss out black women, but not as much as I do others. However, Lynn Patton, do you know who she is? She's one of the severely underqualified people that Donald Trump has put into office.
That's why I don't know.
She is black. She runs HUD programs in New York and Jersey.
Oh, damn.
Her previous experience includes planning the wedding of Eric and Laura Trump in 2014 at Mar-a-Lago. She has no previous experience in government or housing policy.
Neither does the president.
Well, no, I mean, so just laying the background, because Miss Lynn decided to come for April Ryan, of all people.
Why won't they just leave her alone?
It really, it defies all logic. But the tweet she wrote that got her in trouble said, I hear hashtag Miss Piggy is still on a rampage.
What?
Attaching a picture of April Ryan. Gee, I must have struck a nerve at April Ryan, hashtag bankrupt blogger. Now, she's upset. Lynn is upset because April Ryan has been talking about the fact that under this administration, she has been receiving racist comments and death threats unlike anything she's experienced before. This woman has been working at the White House for years and years and years. So if she's like, hey, this is extremely fucked, like something's wronger here than it has been ever before,
right,
then that's something to talk about. Like, this is something worth paying attention to. And of course, Lynn, as one of Trump's tokens, decided to jump up and insert herself into the conversation talking about, I'm a conservative black female who works for Donald Trump's and I get death threats from other minorities all the time. So welcome to the club, April Ryan. Like, this is just how it goes.
Started with the reason why.
Sis, if you're actually getting death threats, which I doubt, what's most likely happening is niggas are just ignoring you. Because that's just how we do.
Yeah.
When you reveal yourself to be one of them, we're just like, oh, okay. Well, no more use out of this person.
Honestly, I'm starting to assume that y'all are snatched, like you're in the sunken place or androids or something.
Right. So that's pretty much how it goes. Of course, people were defending April, saying, you know, the root of this problem is that she should not be receiving any death threats. You know, that's not deserved. And it's a fucked up thing that's happening to her.
Right.
And Lynn is just like, the truth is that y'all are only defending April. Like, it's not a problem when it happens to the rest of us. And women who work close to Donald Trump are persecuted more than every other woman. Sarah Huckabee actually said, the only war on women that I see is the one that's being waged against every woman and every female that is close to this president. The fact that I really have an issue with grown women being like every woman and female. It's like, do you know what you're saying? Like, do you under... You don't.
No.
But so anyway, she decided, Lynn decided that she could come for April Ryan in this way, talking about her weight and all this other stuff. And April Ryan, who does not tolerate shit from the president, so I don't know why Lynn thought
what the fuck
it would be tolerated from her. But when I tell you, sis went back and went off to, with all ads, first of all, she added this bitch in everything.
Of course. Get every
word. She said, Lynn Pattinson, when did I go bankrupt? Tell me, because I want to know. I find it fascinating. You and your girl Omarosa, and she added Omarosa too,
good,
are concerned with my money when yours is questionable. Huh? I can show my taxes. Can you?
Mm.
Kick rocks, little girl. Find a job. I ain't the one.
Wow.
Girl, by blogger. Girl, I do news. What do you do?
Oof.
Do you work at Hood or play at a you washed up wedding planner? Girl, by... Do you also tape conversations like your girl Omarosa, who might have a date with Mueller since she has so much to say?
Oh my God.
Fake info girl, check your facts.
Oh wow.
I work for American Urban Radio Networks, not Sheridan. Whose wedding are you planning now and what wig company do you work for?
Oh Jesus.
Bitch! April Ryan, what the fuck?
Oh wow.
And I actually got, I got every last bit of my life from
that
watching her do it.
Was a drag. like
to the point
a
where
drag race.
Lynn Patton, she said that nobody from the administration contacted her, but she did delete the tweet and apologize for writing it. And I'm like, well, yeah, girl, after your wig got lifted the fuck up straight by the lace, I guess you would.
What else was there to say but sorry?
Bitch, you got knocked the fuck out. April Ryan came for your edges and took them, girl. Snatched all your shit. So fuck Lynn Patton. You thought you could come for April Ryan. How dare you call anybody else broke? Like, worrying about my pockets. When you, why bring attention to yourself when you know, and we all know, just how unqualified you are for the job that you have? Why would you even do that? Shout out to April Ryan for not taking none of this shit. Apparently Ben Carson, who is Lynn Patton's boss, called her.
Shocker.
Called her to apologize. She said she missed that call, but she is excited to get Dr. Carson on the phone so they can speak about this. So just don't be surprised if Lynn Patton don't have a job in the next month or so. I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised.
What an idiot.
Like, bitch, I know that you're a big boss. I know that Donald Trump is able to say what the fuck ever he wants to.
I was just going
to
say that.
But don't ever forget that you are still a black bitch.
Exactly.
In this.
Exactly.
And if they need to fire somebody to show that the White House doesn't tolerate cyberbullying or whatever, you know, that's Melania's fake cause. If they need to let somebody go, it'll be you. Like, and I hope it is. I hope they put your ass right on the chopping block for this. But it don't matter if they don't, because April Ryan already came for your ass.
I don't even have anything.
And eviscerated you. You should be ashamed. She went off on that. It was like she was waiting for somebody to say something to her. I know Omarosa was like, well, now wait a fucking minute. I didn't even say nothing this time.
I'm just getting mic'd up for the Big Brother house, and here I have to be.
How the fuck I get pulled? Because April Ryan is sick of y'all shit. Bootlicking ass black bitches.
What the hell is wrong?
That's it. I'm done. They that really think, that made like, my week.
The like audacity of their president and like his recklessness.
Right.
Maybe like a lot of these motherfuckers are just getting super comfortable and feeling like they can do all of that stuff too. You know, can't.
You're not staying in your fucking lane.
Especially being black and female. No, you can't be no black anything, much less a black woman. They don't give a fuck about you. You just
bankrupt blogger.
A check mark, essentially, for them. Like, they're just a checked box.
Bitch, please. April Ryan said, I can show my taxes. Where are yours? Where's your boss's taxes? How dare you come for my money? And then try to talk about me for being fat. Like, this Lynn girl, she's not fat, but she's nobody's thin either. Like, she's... She's not so thin that you would be like, do you have any space to talk about somebody else's body? Like, you're just a miserable ass bitch.
Right.
That's all this is. But you got told. You learned that day exactly who you was fucking with.
When you have another day, you thinking about people to come for or people to try. I just know that April Ryan will not
I
be
know
on
she was. You, the next time you get them itchy Twitter fingers, you are not going at April Ryan in your shit.
She just going to pluck out the letter A from her keyboard. Just not.
She got to mute April so she don't absolutely get tempted to respond to her or nothing. Like, bitch, you don't want no smoke with April Ryan.
How dare you?
That's it. I'm done. That wraps up this week's episode of The Read. Make sure you check us out at thisistheread.com and on social media at thisistheread.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening. I guess we are gearing up for our Apollo show soon.
Yep. That's coming in a couple weeks.
And Essence.
Yeah. So we're announcing the Essence Fest thing this week. We're going to be at Essence Fest this summer. We are hosting on the Super Lounge stage on Sunday, and we will also have a pop-up shop running throughout the whole weekend. There will also be a live show on Friday night at the Joy Theater, and we will be announcing soon how you can get tickets for that. But yes, very excited to be the first podcast to be integrated into Essence, and so hyped to see you guys and have a good black ass time like I did last year. Essence is so fun. So
this is my first time.
Yeah, you're going to have a great, great time. It is just so fun. And the lineup is insane this year.
Yeah, I'm like just excited to be on the flyer with Janet Jackson's name on it.
I literally saved that flyer for that exact reason.
Yeah.
I'm like, Janet Jackson tweeted out an image
That has our podcast name on it. Yeah,
I felt a deep sense of like
Janet Jackson essentially accomplishment,
right? Even though I'm sure Janet Jackson didn't read past the second line of that flyer,
I'm sure Janet Jackson didn't post it.
She probably has no idea who's gonna be at Essence, so it doesn't matter. It came from her account and it had the read on it.
Can you say the same?
Yes, bitch, I am bragging about my crumbs. And do you have any?
Because Janet.
So, yeah, I'm really hyped to go to Essence. It is such fun. So, everybody who has tickets, we will see you there.
And, of course, Essence is in New Orleans, so any reason to be back there is also yes. great. I'm just hyped.
Yes.
I hope Kofi Cerebo is there.
Oh, I told you he was staying in my hotel, and I saw him over and over again.
I'm just thinking about Girls Trip and being Tiffany Haddish the whole time.
Oh, okay. I was definitely thinking Jada.
I mean, well, not... Yeah, I know that Jada is the one. I just want to be Tiffany because I feel closely connected to her as a spiritual person.
Did you see her mispronouncing people's names at the Oscar thing when they did the Oscar nominees?
No.
She's so cute.
But I did see her...
Her drunk history.
Drunk history clip.
It's funny. On my DVR. I need to go back and watch the whole episode. But even just the clip, I said, sis, what is...
That is such a good show.
I love Tiffany. She's so perfect good. For that. So.
I really want to be one of those people who has to like sync the person, the narrator or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Just the commitment that they have into saying that stuff, like acting those lines out.
Right.
I can't get over how funny it is.
It blew my mind to watch Octavia Spencer say my stupid words.
Just hearing your voice coming out of Octavia Spencer's mouth to
it's
me.
It's still crazy.
I'll never get past
it's
that.
It's still just... Every time somebody tweets me that video, I'm like...
Harry Tubman's coming with her army full of bad bitches. Like, and they say it just like that with the like fucking up and everything. Classic. I'm
Yeah. Drunk History is a lot of fun. So yeah, shout out to Tiffany Haddish. And I think that's it for me. Anything else, Kid Fury?
The acronym this week can be NGAJ. Yeah.
NGAJ. Mm-hmm. Not gone. That's not it.
No, it isn't. The first word is nigga.
Nigga, get a job.
Yes.
Hey, my favorite phrase.
I'm so sorry, guys. But I mean, just whatever.
All right. Bye, guys.